Faith helping them today is what she was doing. But for those of you who don't know, Sandra Connor is here. You know, I'm just kidding, Sandra. My wife's name is Sandra, but that's the real Sandra, right? That's what Sandra says, right? So anyway, it's a blessing to be with y'all guys, and God's been moving. He's moving in our midst, and I hope we can join him where he's at. Amen. And we've got some time. I'll tell you more about maybe some little bit about what's been going on with inside the association, but I don't want to hold you too long. So we want to first just go to the Word of God today and see what God has for us to say. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, if you want to turn over there. Mark chapter 2 is where we're going to be at. And as we come to that point, you know, I think about all the things God's done for us and our ways. You know, he knows exactly how he created us. He knows the things we're going through. He knows what we are dealing with in our lives. And, you know, one of the things is that we as a people, God created us to be with each other. That's one of the reasons he tells us not to forsake the assembling ourselves together. Even the closer that his coming comes back, he says that we need to gather together. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. You know, we all have a thing. You know, I tell you, you know when you can get in trouble? When you're by yourself. That's when you can get in trouble. And the Lord knew that. You know, when Adam came, what did he do? He created Eve, right? As a helpmate. And then as we came along, he knew that we all had things. And I think about that because I think about, you know, there is a better way for all of us as we live our lives. You know, there was a guy named Ben Harper. He sung a song and it says, the lyrics went like this. What good is a man who won't take a stand? What good is a cynic with no better plan? Because I believe there's a better way. Reality is sharp. It cuts me like a knife. Everyone I know is in the fight of their life. Because I believe there's a better way. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a better way for all of us, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we as a people, as we gather together, we are better together as we go along. Because here's the thing we have to realize. There's no way that you can be all God wants you to be, that you can do all God wants you to do, that you can fulfill the purposes that you were placed here on this earth to fulfill by yourself. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. We need each other, and we need to have a relationship with people. And God knows we need other people, and God knows also that there's things going on with you in your life, and you need, other people need what you have. Amen. Other people need your encouragement. Other people need those things as we go along, and we're better together as we do that. So in Mark chapter 2, we're going to read about a group of folks who came together and saw God do some great things. And, you know, how they made a difference in somebody's life. Four men who overcame some obstacles. And so we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. If you can stand, we'll stand and read. If you can't, it's okay. But we're going to read together starting in verse 1. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says there, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and he was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there were no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to him. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier," he said to the paralytic, "your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk?" Let's pray together. Father God, we just come to you today, Lord, and we know that as each person walked through these doors today, you knew every need in their heart, every desire on their mind, and every need in their mind, God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will move mightily, Father. I pray that you'll comfort those who need comforting. You'll convict those who need convicting. You'll draw those to you who need drawing to you, God, that you'll do a mighty work in our midst, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you be glorified. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves mightily and touches hearts. And I pray that, God, even today, that there'll be some saved, some drawn back to you. God, you'll just do a work that only you can. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, here we are, and Jesus is early in his ministry as we go along. And I think about that because the word, though, had kind of started getting out. You know, you can't keep stuff secret, can you? Word has started getting out about what the Lord was doing and how the Lord was working and Jesus was moving. And so, so we believe that most scholars say that where he was probably Simon Peter's house. We don't know, and it really don't matter. You know, the Bible tells us there was an uproar happening, and people from all over was walking and seeing what God had for them and moving around and trying to see, they were excited about what Jesus was doing. And I think that's important for us to understand even today. Listen, when the Word of God is preached and Jesus is lifted up, he draws people to him. And lives are changed. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, men, people will be drawn to me. And listen, today we have a greater opportunity. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have a Facebook account? Raise your hand. How many of you have an Instagram account? Raise your hand. How many of you have, what do y'all do, TikTok too? TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. All right, TikTok, I love the name, you know. Listen, let me tell you something. If advertising didn't work, McDonald's wouldn't be McDonald's. Advertising works. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. We're to lift Jesus up. Let me tell you something. I want to encourage you. Every time you're doing something at your church, put it on Facebook. Because somebody that sees your post won't see my post. Somebody say, but let me, why? Because we want them to know that the Lord is moving. That's this opportunity for them to be around God. So, you know, when something's happening, you know, when you're having revival, somebody put a thing on there and everybody share it. And get the word out. Because, you know why? It's free. You can't be free, can you? But that's another way that it gets people excited about what God's doing. When the people of God start talking about the ways of God and the things of God and what God's doing, folks want to know what's going on. And that's exactly what happened here. And we see that here we have a star and five co-stars in this group. You see, four men were on a mission. They had a friend, and then Jesus was there, the main star. And, you know, their whole thing was, if we can get our friend, if we can get this man to Jesus Christ, he's going to be made whole and well, possibly. And, ladies and gentlemen, I think about that because that's the truth. You know, the truth is that if we can get folks to Jesus, they can be made whole. If we can get people to Jesus, they can be made well. Jesus, he can make us and he can remake us. Amen? That's the good thing. And if we can just get them, and that's what they were thinking about, if we can just get them to the Lord. And I think about that because, you know, some of you may be sitting here and saying, well, I don't know. I just don't know about even talking to the Lord myself too much. You know, well, listen, there's a way. And don't feel like you're by yourself. You know, you think, well, I don't know. I just don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't want people to know, you know, what's going on. Listen, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. He had a position of religious authority, but he didn't have the courage to be in the presence of Jesus. So what did he do? He went at night. He sought him out. You know, Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He was an itty-bitty man. Ain't that right? Wee little man. There you go, brother. He was a wee little man. And what did he do? He climbed up that tree and there so that he could see Jesus. You know, the poor sick woman, she just said, you know, she couldn't find anybody to help her. And she said, if I could just have these feeble fingers touch the hem of the garment, I could be well again. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what's going on in your life. The thing is, the Lord is there, and if you'll call on him, he'll answer. If you'll call on him, he'll hear you. If you'll call on him, he'll be present in your life. And that's truly what we need. This man that we're talking about that's paralyzed, you know, here these four men wanted to get him to Jesus so he could be helped. You know, listen, this man, he couldn't help himself. Science had failed him. The doctors were helpless. His family was hopeless. And the world had pretty much written this man off as useless. But ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't useless to God. And let me tell you something. You're not useless to God. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And that's why he puts you there as he goes along. But I think about it because I think about as they came about and they heard what was going on and they started thinking. And one of the four, we don't know which one. We don't know how it happened. And all I can say is, all I know is people. One guy had an idea. Have y'all been hearing about this dude, Jesus? What do you mean? Man, people are getting right. He teaches like no other man teaches. There's even been people who've been healed. People who are blind can see. People that could lame could walk. Yeah, I have heard about that. Well, what about old Joe over here? Well, I don't know if his name's Joe, you know, but anyway. Who you talking about? You know, the paralyzed friend of ours. What about him? I mean, why don't we take him? Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think they had to deal with? The first guy had to deal with this. If I say something to my buddies about this, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I have lost my mind. They're going to think that I'm nuts. I don't, and who knows? I mean, everybody's not being healed. You know, I just don't know. I just don't know. Maybe, well, I'll just tell my other buddies, see what they think. You reckon somebody said, are you crazy? When he said something to him. Are you crazy? You say, now, Chris, how do you know that? You ever, Lord spoke to you, and you knew that he was speaking to you about speaking to somebody else, and you're thinking, I ought not do that. I don't know. You know why witnessing is so hard? Because it's the greatest spiritual battle that you're going to deal with in your life. When you start telling somebody else about Jesus and what Jesus has done in your life, I'm telling you, the spiritual war rages. You know, Satan knows us. He knows what's going on. He's not all-knowing. He's not almighty, but he's been around a long time. He knows people, and he knows what he puts in our mind. And I'm thinking that these guys were probably thinking, listen, you know, what happens if we fail? Hey, some of his family may get mad at us because we're trying to give him some hope that, you know, that's not even really reasonable. I just don't know. Listen. Jesus is the one who can make people whole. Amen. Jesus is the one who can do those things. And so I think about it because, see, here he was. And even with him, you know, crowds had been his enemy. Really, you know, he was being normally excluded and all those things. He was going along. These people around, they were. And, you know, I think about us because, listen, there are people around us. There's folks that are paralyzed. They're paralyzed by sin. They're paralyzed by shame. They're paralyzed by fear. They're paralyzed thinking that they're not good enough to be able to be used of God. They're paralyzed in all kind of ways. And the world's failed them, and the families may have failed them, and some of their dreams may have failed them. And, you know, they may not have had the prosperity. Maybe they have. But they're hurting and they're lost. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Lord needs us. He don't need us, but he gives us that opportunity to be part of the healing process. He gives us that opportunity to go along. And you know, the grace of God and the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ as we start talking about him, you know, that's the thing. And here these four guys were. You know what? They cared enough about this man that they put their fears, they put their pride, they put all those things behind them and went to carry his mat. Now I want to ask you a question. Because this is important. Who carries your mat? Who carries your mat? Who do you know that you can show when you got weakness and struggles with going on? Who's there for you that you can say, I need you to pray for me and be real in your life with them? You know, you can't do that for everybody, can you? We know that. But you know what? We all need somebody. And that's one of the reasons God brings us together as a church. That's one of the reasons we do the small groups, the Sunday school that you do, so you can get to know folks and talk to them. You may not be able to talk in front of everybody, But you need that person who will carry a mat for you as you go along. John Ortenberg, a preacher, he said, if you want a deep friendship, you can't always be the strong one. You'll sometimes got to let somebody else carry your mat. And that's the truth. We all need that in our life. And so the Bible says in verse 3, then they came to him. And they were bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't that the way it goes? They finally got the courage up to take him to Jesus. They finally get the courage up to go and do what they're going to do and try to get their friend some help. And then something totally unexpected happens. They wasn't planning on having to fight the crowd to get the man through. They wasn't even planning on the fact that if it was a crowd, the folks would let them, at least, wouldn't they let them in? No, because you know why? Everybody needs Jesus, including church people. Amen? And that's the thing. And so here they were, like that. And they're walking around. Well, listen, but before that, let me tell you something. I believe there was something else going on before that, you know? I think these guys prayed. I think that's one of the ways they got their courage. You know, and I think it's important for us to realize, you know, 2 Corinthians tells us about that. He says in chapter 4, verse 4, he said, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, talking about those friends again, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Listen, we got to make sure we don't let the gospel of the God of this age, notice that's in a little letter God, of this age has blinded us and kept us from fulfilling the work that God would have us to do, fulfilling the purpose. Because listen, there's blessings in that. You know, as you serve the Lord, God, he's given you a gift to serve in some way him. There's a purpose for your life. And listen, when you're doing what God's called you to do, let me tell you what, there's fulfillment in that. There's fulfillment in that. And so here, I think they prayed. And that's what we have to do. We have to pray. Sometimes we're going in things we don't understand. We better be praying. We better pray for wisdom. We better pray for the Word of God to come in our life and do that. And I think as they were there, they get there and they're looking and they're thinking, we're never going to get through this crowd. They're not letting us through. All them wanting to get in too. And what in the world are we going to do? One of the guys says, I got an idea. See them stairs up there, man? Let's just take him up to the top of the roof. Take him to the top of the roof. What good is that going to do? Jesus is in the bottom. Well, you know, we just tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. I mean, think about it. We read that scripture. Let's think about it. You want somebody tearing your roof off in your house? You know? Tear the roof off. That, you know, and I get, hey, look, we've come this far. You know, we got to get him to Jesus. We done made it this far. You know, look, we can pool our money together. It ain't gonna won't be that much. We'll get it done, and we got to get him to Jesus. You know, we got to get him in the presence of God. Listen, all around us there's people going to hell. All around us there's people without Jesus, and you know what? The only thing that's going to help them is the presence of Jesus. That's all. And we got to get people in the presence of the Lord. That's why I said, share everything you do. Share what's going on with your church. Share the stuff, activities you have. Somebody take a picture and put it on Facebook. You know why? Just let the word know that, hey, Center Hill Baptist Church is having church. And God's working. And things are going good. And let them know what's going on. You know, and I think about that. And so when they couldn't come near, here they were of all those things that were going on. But listen, their love for their friend motivated these four people not to quit. You know why? Love's going to find a way. There's a song, isn't it? Love will find a way. I can't remember what it was, but old song. Anybody remember what that song was? Love will find a way. I don't know why that came to me, but anyway, it did, you know. Listen. They found a way. You know what? I'm so thankful that these friends didn't give up. And you know what? I'm so thankful there were friends in my life that didn't quit on me when I was a kid. I wasn't raised in church. I started going when I was a young teenager. But listen, I'm thankful that folks kept bringing me to Jesus. I was spiritually blind. I was spiritually dead. I was just like Mephibosheth. I was a dead dog, you know. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loved me, and finally I figured it out. Amen? Amen. I figured it out, what God did. And these four friends, they wasn't going to give up, because as long as there was a pulse of hope, love was going to find a way. And ladies and gentlemen, we all not ever get so discouraged in our life that we don't share with our friends or family anymore. Keep sharing. All they can do is say, well, that dude's crazy about that, you know. That's all right. That's all right. You know, I think about it, you know. And then, look, these guys, you know, they went into the roofing business. They did what it took. You know, and that's what we have to do. They made an opening in the roof. They literally dug through it. You know, the roof would have been flat and all those things. Listen, let me tell you something. That's why it's important for us to realize God meant for us to work together. He meant for us to cooperate, you know. And that love comes from His heart. And so, you know, that's what God's love is, what motivates us to reach out to others and have concern for others as we go along. And I think also it's so important for us to see here the cooperation that we have. Because listen, you know what? Someone that I might speak to may not even listen to me. But you know, you may have the opportunity to say a word and them listening to you. All right, why? That's like when you're going outside and you're doing stuff for the Lord. You know, listen, let me tell you something. We don't know what the person that we're walking down the aisle at Walmart needs. You know, but you know who really knows it? And I'm not talking about what's on the shelf. The Lord knows what they need. And so, you know, I've had people say to me all kinds of things about how I helped them. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? But that's the way it is. It might be just a word. It may be just an encouragement. It may be just a smile sometimes that somebody needs that you don't know. That you don't know, but the Lord knows. And we work together. You know, that's why, in you know, as a church, we work together in missions and things like that, because that's what it takes for us all to be a success. We can join together and reach the world for Christ, you know. You ever seen the geese when they're migrating, how they fly in the V? You ever seen that? You know, they say that when the flock is together and they're flying like that, that their flying range is 71% greater than if they're just by themselves. That's crazy, isn't it? But you know what? That's the way it is with us. That's the way it is with you in this church working together. That's the way it is with you as a church working with other churches as we go along and working with other Christians. You know, these four men, they were there. And listen, they had to dig through that roof. You know what? Sometimes we have to be creative in the way we reach people, you know, and getting them to Jesus. Last night I got invited. I was down at Soul Circle at church, and they had slaughtered a cow, and they cut the whole thing up and had the whole cow, everything. They cooked it. They cooked it. Thank God I was one of the last ones. I got a steak and some rib. Praise the Lord. You know? Not to say that the other stuff wasn't good. But you know what? I mean, they were shocked. It was the first time they'd ever done anything like this. And I think they had about 250 people show up. 250 men, and 10 of them got saved. Isn't that awesome? God is good. So sometimes we have to be a little creative, you know. That's why I was mentioning that about the faith thing. But here's the thing. Notice what happened. As they're lowering this man down, when Jesus saw, verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, it took faith for that paralyzed guy, because remember, he can't move. If the rope slips, the dude is not in good shape, right? If he falls from the top of the house. He can't move. He can't walk. He can't use his legs. So it took faith for him to say, okay. And it took faith for those guys to tear through that roof and do the things they were doing. But the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, you know, and, you know, you think, I mean, wait a minute, we didn't come, we came to see about getting this guy healed. Well, praise the Lord, he got healed, amen? He got healed spiritually. He got healed physically. And back of all the tears and the heartaches and the blind eyes and the crippled body and the sick bodies, you know, listen, the worst thing that can happen in anybody's life is to be separate from God and bound for hell forever. Listen, we don't like to talk about it, but hell is a real place. It's separation from God. Any of y'all know anybody? What's the age of somebody that's lived the longest you know? Anybody? Who? 90. Oh, yeah, that's still young. 96? Let's see, 95. What was the lady's name out from between? She was 100. She was the oldest woman in the country at the time. I can't remember her name now. Huh? Yeah, how old was she? 105? I was thinking she was a little older than that. I think I saw where somebody was 112. Recently, somewhere, 112, 105. That's a long time to live, amen? But let me tell you something. In the scheme of eternity, that's that. That's that quick. Because 10,000 years from now, we're still going to be alive somewhere. We're either going to be with Jesus, or we're going to be separated from God in punishment forever and ever and ever. And ladies and gentlemen, they were like, what are you doing? We came for something else. But that's the way the world is. The world says, listen, you know, if we could get some better legislation, if Congress would just enact some better laws, if we could just put some people in better houses and better place. Let me tell you something. If we bought everybody great cars, in about 5 years, they'd all still be a mess. You know, I mean, we got to realize that the biggest problem that we have in our life, the biggest problem we have in our country, the biggest problem we have in this world is that we're all sinners. And we need Jesus in our life. And the only way that we can be cleansed from our sin is through the shedding of blood. That's what the Lord says in His Word. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus came and He died on the cross and paid the price for all of our sin. And the religious folks were sitting there in verse number 6 and said, they were reasoning in their heart, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Ladies and gentlemen, they found the most important thing. They're right. Because God alone, Jesus Himself, was forgiving sin. He was one. But notice what it says, but when Jesus perceived in His heart that that they reasoned thus within Himself, He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to your paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? Jesus said, what's the most important thing? And what's the hardest thing for you to see? So He said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately He arose, took up His bed, and went out in the presence of them all. So they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. No, they hadn't. What about the four men? They're up on the rooftop. They're high-fiving each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of them says, yeah, God, we ain't got to carry him back home. Yes, yes, we got him in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. Yes, we got him in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord made him whole. Yes, the Lord did great and mighty things. Ladies and gentlemen, what a blessing. And listen, here's the thing. And here's the thing that we miss. Those four men, we don't know their names. The Lord does. But today, they're still rejoicing in heaven because of that. They're still rejoicing in heaven because of that. And you know what? The little things that you do for the Lord, you don't realize. But let me tell you, God sees everything that you're doing. And God, he's got in his mind. And he's going to remember. Listen, we're not saved by our works. No. We're saved by faith through Jesus Christ. But then, what the Lord wants, he wants us to be part. Be part of the kingdom. He wants us to be blessed. How many of y'all ever had children in your life? Raise your hand if you had kids in your life. How old is your little one? Ooh, just little. You got another one? Five more? Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord, man. That's awesome. Now, you know, when the kids are little, you know, I'm talking about they're little. I don't know. 4 or 5, you're trying to get them to play games and stuff, right? Or maybe when you take them out that first time and you're gonna teach them how to shoot basketball, you know? And then you show them a few things, and they shoot. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Then pretty soon, you know, you're doing something, whether it's basketball or some kind of video game or what, you know, you're like, now, if you'll do this. Now, let me ask you a question. Why are you doing that? Are you trying to teach your kid how to beat you? You're not that good anyway, right? No, I'm just No. You want them to have fun. You want them to be part. You want them to have a good life. You want them to have something that y'all can have a relationship in, right? You know? That's what it's about. Listen, the Lord wants to have that relationship with you like that. He wants to be part of your life every day. He wants you to call on him. He don't get tired of you. He doesn't get tired of you. You know, he's a lot more graceful than we are. And I think about it because, listen, there are times when our faith can make a difference in others' lives. When people see what God's done. And also there's time when the faith of others, we see them and see what God's doing in their life and encourages us. And when this paralyzed man walked out this door, you know, man, don't you know it turned them upside down? You know? And let me tell you something. Here's the thing. Were these guys wealthy? I don't know. Maybe one of them was. Maybe not. Were they the strongest people in the world? No, probably not. Were they the most talented people in all the world? Probably not. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the greatest. You just got to be you. Surrender to Jesus and let him use you as you go along. You know, we in our scripture in Sunday school today, one of the things we talked about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Because our prayers and our love and our cooperation was all those things that the Lord brought in our lives. He brought that. And I think about that because I think about how the Lord uses us. And here, if you're here today and you've never been saved, listen, maybe that's why God's got you here today, so you can get saved. Maybe you're here today because you've walked away from the Lord and you don't think the Lord loves you anymore. Listen, he does. He cares about you. But you know what he also tells us? He said that we're to go and make disciples and baptize, and we're to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. All around us is what he's telling us to do, to go and do those things. But you know, I think about those things, and I think about how we're so blessed to have so many opportunities today. You know, a few years back, I got invited to preach. I just went blank the name of the church. It's down in Godfrey. Y'all know where Godfrey, Georgia is? Any of y'all know where Godfrey is? I'd heard of Godfrey. I had no clue where it was at. If you go to the middle of nowhere, turn left, go 10 miles out, and get farther out in the middle of nowhere, you're getting close to Godfrey, right? That's kind of right. If you go out there, you'll see a sign. There's a sign out there because I think it was 1821, a revival broke out. 4,000 people showed up in Godfrey, Georgia in 1821. They didn't drive. They didn't fly in. They either walked rode in a carriage or a wagon or a horse, because that's all they had. 4,000 people showed up for a meeting. And revival broke out in Godfrey, Georgia. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There had to be some preparations. They had, the word had to get out for 4,000 people, because I don't know what the population of Georgia was in that time. Let's see. When was any of y'all history buffs? Y'all remember when Georgia was founded? Was it like 1730-something? Is that right? 1773? I'll take your word for it, brother. No, it was a little bit farther than that, because that's when the Revolutionary War was. Yeah, so you got, but it was less than 100 years old. We know that. And so we also know that there wasn't that many people here. You know what? But because people got together and served and worked, because of that, because Christians came together and said, you know what? We need to get some more people in the presence of the Lord. They stepped out of their comfort zone. Can you imagine when somebody said, you know what? Let's have us a meeting down here in Godfrey where ain't nobody at. We might have 1,000 people show up. Can you imagine? I mean, they thought they were crazy. 4,000 people showed up, and revival took off. And in the state of Georgia alone, it went throughout the southeast. 22,000 plus people accepted Jesus from that revival. 22,000 people. That's amazing, isn't it? You know what? Sometimes there's things we have to do that's different than what we've done before. Sometimes there's things we have to do to step out in faith, because you know what? We really, what happens to us all, we get comfortable where we're at, and we think, well, we done all we can do is let somebody else handle it now. You know? Listen. And when I say that about doing things we hadn't done, I'm talking about just inviting somebody to church or telling somebody about the Lord or spreading the word on Facebook like I was talking about a while ago. You know, I'm not talking about nothing major.
I have Facebook.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I get it. You know, there's some bad things on there. No doubt about it. But it's just, it's reality. It's like TV. There's some bad things on TV, you know. And so you think about it. But what I think about is, you know, stepping out in faith and seeing what God's doing. Let me tell you quickly. You know, we do backpacks, just to show you what I'm talking about. We take backpacks at Christmas up to Kentucky. And so last year I got word, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. Two of our biggest givers said we're not going to be able to cooperate this time because we're doing hurricanes, we're doing all kind of stuff. And so I'd already had preachers calling me from up in Kentucky, and I knew we needed about 1,300 backpacks, and it looked like we were going to probably have about 600. So I put on Facebook a little thing about what had happened the year before with a pastor telling us that we didn't know what we were doing, and he talked about how he had gotten saved just because a church had given him a cup of juice, Dixie cup, and a cookie. And you know what? People responded. And we had started going. I had one trailer and a van to take the mission team up, people who wanted to go, and all. Well, then the money kept coming in, and backpacks kept coming in. What a blessing it was. I got to the end of that week. That week we fixing to leave, and I thought, you know what? I might ought to get another van. Well, Christian Learning Center just had somebody donate them some vans. And, you know, they have an office that Walker lets me use over there at Walker Baptist, and they have a Christian Learning Center building, a little trailer there. They meet there. So I pulled in. I walked around. There's a new van sitting there and an old van. And I said, hey, what you doing with the old van? Well, I think they're going to offer it back to the church that gave it to us, and then maybe give it to a ministry. I said, I wonder if they'd let me use it. I called the folks. They said, yeah. Take it on up there. So there's our new van. I mean, not the new van. We got the old van, you know. It's a van. Praise the Lord. Just in case. So, man, we headed out. You know how many backpacks we ended up? We had people gave us money, so we ordered stuff and sent it on up to Kentucky. Remember I said we hadn't made it over 1,300? We had 1,372 backpacks. Ain't God good? It's amazing. But we go on up the road, and we get up to Clayton. We stop there to eat lunch because you can go to different places, you know. Stop right there. And some of y'all might know if you're going up 441, there's a little place, there's a car dealership. On one side, same building, there's a Jeep dealership, a Dodge dealership, a Chevrolet dealership, and a Ford dealership all in one building. I don't know how that works, but that's the way it did. It's right past there is where we stopped. We ate, feeling good. They came out, and the guy pulls around with the trailer, and one of the guys said, "Do you see that wheel?" "I ain't see the wheel." Now, Alan Whitley, with us, he's a mechanic. He's a preacher over at Bow Springs. He said, "Pull that truck back around here." He pulled the truck around. He said, "Brother Chris, I believe that the wheel bearing's gone out on that wheel." Now, y'all know how many people want to work on a wheel at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and we don't know for sure that's all it is? I picked up the phone. I started calling people. I couldn't get anything. So I finally said, let's all get back in the vans, and let's head across the street. And we went over there to that dealership, and I walked in, and I said, "Hey, here's what's happening." And the guy's like, "There ain't no way. We're covered up. We got people. It'll be probably Tuesday." And I'm like, "Well, let me just tell you what we're doing." So I told him what we were doing. He said, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to make 2 phone calls, and if I can get somebody to do it, we'll do it." So he came, just a few minutes, he came back. He said, "One of the guys said, go ahead and work on yours, so leave it." So we unloaded. We put all the people that were on the new van that we had, the one that I think Faith had let us use. We put them on the old van, left the new van here, sent them on up the road so they could get on up to Kentucky. About 4:30 that afternoon, we were ready. We were on the road. We were good. 3 of us, about 2 hours behind, you know. And my phone rings. And it was my wife. It's not a good sign. She said, "Chris, we're broke down 7 miles from the exit on I-75. I said, "Oh, no, that is terrible." She said, "That's not the worst." I said, "Okay." She said, "They're working on the road right here. So we couldn't hardly get off. We're barely out of the road on the interstate, and they're up against those concrete barriers they put when they're doing construction." I said, "Oh, no, that's terrible." She said, "That's not the worst." She said, "They just quit. No warning, no nothing." I said, "Okay, so what else?" She said, Steve Archer from Briarwood was driving. She said, "Steve went to open the door to get out, and the door wouldn't open. So then they decided to roll the windows down and crawl out the window. None of the windows in the van are rolled down." That's not a good situation.
I carry a hammer.
Yeah, that's what it should have had. That's right. But now, see, I'm going to show you how God works. They got to experience something that very few people in the United States have experienced. You know what happened? Of course, I called and got a van coming over to meet them. They brought the roll back out. They pulled that roll back. They put that van on it. And that whole mission team got to ride on the back of a roll back 7 miles down the road to the next exit. Now, none of y'all have ever done that, see? Oh, you have? Praise the Lord. Just a few of you. So then I get to the camp, 11:15. They'd got there about 9 o'clock. They'd ate. They started, they had 350 backpacks, 350, I can't remember. Started laying them out so they could pack those backpacks where we sent the money up to. We'd order Bibles from Lifeway and had them sent up. I walked in the door at 11:15, and my wife comes walking toward me, and I see that look. You guys know what I'm talking about? I saw that look. I said, "What's up?" She said, "We opened the first case of Bibles. We put 25 Bibles in 25 backpacks. We opened the second case, the third case, the fourth case, the fifth case." She said, "They sent us 325 Hispanic Bibles." And listen, there's no Hispanic people in that area. We tried to find them. None in that area. Okay. This is not exactly the way I planned the mission trip. You know? So we get up the next morning. We go. We actually work with a school now. And we cooperate with another ministry. And so we leave most of the mission team there. But we stopped at a church on the way over. We unloaded 125 backpacks for them to minister in the church area. And it was so strange. We got everybody to, I said, look, before we leave, we just want to gather around. We're going to join hands. Preacher, we just want, pastor was out. We want to pray for you and your church. So we gather around. You know, we're in a hurry. So you know how that is, Baptist. So we joined our hands. I started praying. This guy started weeping. I'm not talking about crying. I'm talking about weeping. Just weeping. And then he started praying. And we left. I thought a little bit, not much. I knew something was up with him, you know, and maybe the church. But we had to move on. We went and took the folks over to the school. And then a group of us got back because we had 14 other churches that we delivered to. But listen, I mean, this has never happened the whole time we've been going. At least 7 of those pastors were there, which is a little unusual. At least 7 of them started weeping. You know, I was thinking, we thought we were coming up here to encourage these families and encourage the kids. But you know what God knew? He knew that these people, these preachers and these churches needed encouragement, that they needed a way to be able to minister. And they needed this encouragement. I didn't know that. Didn't have a clue. You remember the van that broke down? The camp we was at, he had a mechanic. He said, brother, he took it over to his house. He said, brother, what has happened? The wiring harness has fallen off the top of the hood. And it fell onto the motor and it's burned up. And I'm thinking, those people were locked in that van with that thing burning up. And he said, but I'm going to have to get it shot. But he said, I'm going to do what I can to fix it for you. And I said, well, that's going to be a lot, ain't it? He said, yeah. Well, he said, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do. In other words, I'm going to do the work for you. And I said, well, let's just say maybe, hopefully, $600 to $800. He kind of laughed. He said, we don't know for sure, but hopefully, you know. Well, then I remembered what they had said at the Christian Learning Center. So I knew that Walker had given this van, so I called Gerald Malcolm, and I said, hey, Gerald, I know this is what's going to happen. Are y'all interested in having that van back? No, we do not want that van. No, we do not. He didn't even know it was broke down. So then I called the Christian Learning Center people. And I said, this is what I understand. Y'all wanting to give it to a ministry. Well, first I called. So then I called the guy who ran the camp. And I said, Brother Pat, I said, you ever had a van to do maintenance? It's got 140 acres. All kind of cabins and dorms and stuff like that. I said, have y'all ever had that? He said, we used to have 2 of them. But they all broke down. We can't get parts for them anymore. And we've actually been praying for a van. I didn't know that. They have a van there. The Christian Learning Center gave it to them. Oh, you remember the 325 Bibles? So Lifeway would not ship them back here. They would only ship them back there. So there's a large church in that area, and the youth pastor works within the school system some. So I called him up. I said, Brother Todd, I said, I got some Bibles coming. It's going to be about 325. I said, could you get them in the hands of some students? He said, brother, you uns ain't going to believe this. He said, I got a call Thursday from a principal that we've been trying to work with that we hadn't had no luck at a middle school, and they've had all kind of problems. The principal called me Thursday afternoon and said, if you can get your hands on Bibles, I will personally give them out to every student in the school. We got to do something different. Did I know that? But you know who did know that? Amen. Look, that's the thing. Sometimes we got to trust the Lord. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to realize even when we don't know what we're doing, if we just do what God can take what we're trying to do and do great and mighty things with it. But we got to be willing to step out on faith and do what He's called us to do. It might be picking up a mat and taking somebody to the church. It may be picking them up on your car on the way. It may be telling somebody about the Lord. Whatever God is calling you to do. But listen, God is faithful. And He can do things that we can't ever do if you'll trust Him. And let's get people in the presence of the living God where He can change lives. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today's the day of salvation. I hope you'll come down. We'll take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. You know, if you're here and you just need to come pray for your friend or your neighbor or your loved one, yourself, your family, whatever, come down. We'll pray. Do you want to do an invitation song? All right. Y'all come on up. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we just come to You today, Lord. And we're so thankful for Your love, Your grace, and Your goodness, God. And Father, we're thankful that, Lord, even when we don't know what we're doing, You know what You're doing. And God, I praise You for that. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit will move and help us to step out. And Father, step out in faith and do the things You've called us to do, Father. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that's lost, that today will be the day of salvation. They'll come to You and realize that it's all about trusting You and believing in You and accepting what You've done in their life to be saved. That You're the one who does the changing. You're not. They can't change themselves. And Father, I pray that You'd have Your way. And Lord, just work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. What are we singing, brother? Let's all stand. Just as I am, softly and tenderly. I surrender all. I was close.